Continuing our discussion of art and creativity, do you have a place to go where your creativity switches on in some way? A desk, the room of one's own, of Virginia Woolf, a studio, a perch on a hill somewhere. For painter Jackson Pollock, it was a floor. His paintings were born on a floor in a now-famous cottage on Long Island in New York.
The modern artist has found new ways of expressing the world about him. I happen to find ways that are different from the usual techniques of painting. I paint on the floor, and which isn't unusual, as the Orientals did that.
A new book reckons to allow a reader to stumble into the places where artists work, places that allow them to build and dream. Art Studio America, Contemporary Artist Spaces, features the spaces of 115 artists active today, including Chuck Close, Kiki Smith, Bill Viola, Marina Abramovich, and others. In each space, the book's editor and interviewer, Hossein Amboussadeghi, deliberately intrudes and draws each artist into a conversation while the pictures show dozens of magical spaces where the modern art world comes alive. Amboussadeghi and one of the artists featured, Brooklyn-based film and video artist Lorna Simpson, came into our radio studio this week to talk about how important a creative space is and how it is all about work.
Really, the kind of main space of mine has this kind of panoramic window, which is kind of cinematic. And it really does feel that way. So it's this kind of beautiful space that has skylights and is very airy, gigantic ceilings. And funny enough, it's really very flexible in terms of being able to shoot video projects in there, sound projects, drawings. Like, it's a very flexible space. So it actually is like this sanctuary that, even though I might have a mile-high list of things to do, when I walk in there, it's my own kind of private sanctuary.
You know, Sanctuary was the title of the book you did, Hossein, on the British artist spaces that is a companion for this book here. What's the experience like of going into these spaces that both inspire the creativity of these artists and, in many cases, make huge messes all over the place?
The British artists, they have less space. They have less glamour, if you will. But the American space, for me, was a totally different experience because coming after Sanctuary and being in a small island as Britain, the American one is such a huge space. The expanse of the country, the dimensions of cultures and the multicultural environment, and the aura of Americana, which I found, to my own surprise, rather appealing in many ways.
Well, there's so many diverse spaces in this book in America. I mean, the difference between the studios on the West Coast, some of which are so playful and fabulous. I mean, I'm thinking of Billy Al Bankston, who has this almost like a storefront, a beautiful space, or Jim Shaw in Venice. It's almost like a theater space. And some of the New York spaces like yours, Lorna, you know, they run the gamut. As a non-artist, for me to be able to go into a space like yours or one of these industrial spaces like Rashid Johnson has, where it's you could fly an airplane in there, I mean, it's almost like I'm looking over your shoulder. Does that make you nervous?
Not at all. I mean, well, it depends. But I think in some ways, as an artist, you do have to kind of create, even if it's psychologically, a space in order to make work. And that if you know, that can be made in, like, in your bedroom, that can be made in the kitchen. But I think it's also, you know, artists choose spaces that they can kind of intellectually and psychologically create this arena for them to think. And then the work then comes out of that.
You know, and there's a curatorial piece to this as well, because some of the artists are actually using their studio spaces to collect materials that are fading away. I mean, in the case of Corey Archangel, who's collecting electronic lost, you know, sort of thrown away objects to use in his work. And there's also, you know, people collecting paper. Billboard paper is going away. And there are artists who store, you know, materials that are becoming obsolete as time goes on. That must have been fascinating to observe.
The Archangel and Mark Bradfield, he produces art for his little space, which is his mother's hair salon. His studio is a continuation of his mother's original hair salon, where he learned to play with material and paper. So, again, what does represent Bradford's art is where he came from as a child, working, washing hair in his mother's hair salon, and then being taught by his mother to feel and textualize different textiles, etc., which he now uses in more, more or less themes in his art.
And then there are some studios that actually are a lot like galleries, where there are the work of the artist surrounding them completely. What is the psychological interior there, Jose?
Well, they are the sort of original idea of the studio was the Renaissance idea of the artisanal workshop, where the apprentices were brought in and participated in producing great masters' works. So take, for instance, Jeff Koons, who, as I describe in the book, has some 130 assistants working in a large space in Chelsea, and he is very hands-on supervising every aspect. In fact, he supervised the shoot as well himself. So
I just wonder if the Koons having 130 assistants is a commentary on Jeff Koons that maybe is very independent of his art. Having a space where you're controlling 130 people sounds more like, I don't know, General Electric than...
Well, if you can sell art at 20, 30 million pop, you can be General Electric of the art world. You know?
I guess that's right. For a conceptual artist like Maria Abramović, what does a studio represent, do you think, in looking at the images here?
I mean, I think Marina, her work is also about sculpture and about space and about her relationship of her body in that space and duration and time. And there's not always the expectation that you have to, like, make objects to have a space because there are many different artists that work in video or film that kind of still require some kind of studio space, some kind of environment, as I said before, that they can kind of retreat to think about what they're making or how they make it or their relationship to duration and time and the body and being in the space.
It is about play and space, and I was thinking about all these spaces when just yesterday my 3-year-old and my 12-year-old on their tummies with the paper spread out, watercolors everywhere, making a huge mess and having the time of their lives. And I think it exactly mirrors the spaces that you've got here in this book.
Yes, and a lot of these artists are on their tummy or on their backs, and they're not having the time of their life because the intensity of the process and the production scheduling and next show and the gallery demands and all of that don't allow what would be child play. I mean, Picasso said that the greatest enemy of creativity is common sense. Now, as soon as an artist becomes commonsensical, if you will, the creativity does get necessarily stunted in a direction which has to produce for the market.
So you got to fight. So it's a fight, and the studio space is a sanctuary, but also, in a sense, a fighting space. It makes me sound like... we've got to get you out of here so you can get back home and get to work.
Yeah, I've got to get back to work.
Hossein and Lorna, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Hossein Amirsadeghi is the editor and interviewer in the new book, Art Studio America, Contemporary Artist Spaces, which explores the studio spaces of more than 100 famous artists, including Lorna Simpson.
This is Hugh Mead from Oklahoma City. I love the writer's cabins that I've seen, but I can't afford to have one. Also, I live in urban space, so it's harder to create the illusion of separation and privacy.
This is Bruce in Tallahassee, Florida. I find the best place to relax is down at my little house on the pristine Wakulla River in near Tallahassee, Florida. It's quiet, serene, natural, lets me work and think without clutter.
Tell us about the place that inspires you to be creative and do your best work. What does it look like, feel like? Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE and send us a tweet at The Takeaway. Catch up on that conversation or listen back to anything on the program. You can check us out at thetakeaway.org. That's our creative space. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.